Hello, everybody. Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Wade, and I'm glad you're here. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to get up here and share your word and share this message that you put on my heart. And Lord, I just pray that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and speak through me. I pray that none of my opinions or none of my own ideas would come out, but it would be coming straight from you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help the people that are hearing this to receive it and to open their minds and their hearts, Lord, to let your word sink in so they can see the comfort that comes from it and the change that comes from it. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It feels good to be back. I wasn't here last week, but I'm glad I'm back this week. What I want to talk about tonight is something I think everybody is dealing with right now and have been dealing with for probably a little over a year. I think it's, at this point, has affected just about everybody. You know, for the last couple of weeks, I know it's really affected my family. My cousin Wendy, she was the same age as I am. She may have been a few months older than me, but we were the same age. I just saw her like 2 weeks ago, and she was fine. And then, you know, first we got the phone call that she was sick. You know, she had COVID, and she had underlying health issues, and, you know, she had MS and other stuff. So she got even sicker really quick, and, you know, it didn't take long. She was hospitalized, and then it wasn't like a day later, you know, she's in ICU, and then just another day or so later, they had to put her on a ventilator, and then I think it was last Thursday, you know, we got the news that she had died. And, you know, that was Thursday morning, I believe it was, when my mom sent me a text and told me that, you know, Wendy just died. And I was in the middle of doing my devotions when I got that. And I got sitting there just thinking about it. And, you know, I didn't break down crying or anything like that, because every time I would think about her, I couldn't really think about her being dead. Every time I would think about her, all I was thinking about was, you know, the good times we had, you know, when we were growing up together and stuff. And so I started, you know, asking God if something was wrong with me, because I wasn't crying and I wasn't all tore up about it. And I felt like I should be. You know, I was sad, and I was hurt, and I had a lot of sorrow about it. But every time I thought about it, like I said, all I could think about were good things and how we used to play together. And, you know, my uncle had a print shop there in Dandridge, and she worked in it. And I think about how every time I would go in there, you know, she would smile because she was glad to see me, and I'd smile because I was glad to see her. I didn't have not one bad memory of her, not one. And, you know, I couldn't understand why I was trying so hard to create one. And I don't know, I just felt like I wasn't grieving enough, I guess. And then I got to thinking about it, and God reminded me of a time just a few years ago. My Uncle Shorty had passed away, and it just completely crushed my mom. You know, she was deep into grief. And then a couple days later, you know, she called me on the phone, and she was just super happy. And she just kept saying, you know, Jesus took my grief. Jesus took my grief, and he did. You know, I could hear it in her voice. And, you know, there's no way you can fake that. Her grief was gone. So that got me thinking, you know, maybe there's not something wrong with me. Maybe Jesus took my grief. That's why I was just remembering the good stuff. And that's kind of what I want to focus on tonight. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, it says right there that Jesus bore our grief. And one thing we have to remember when we get in those really hard times, we kind of talked a little bit about this yesterday when we had our funeral service. Even in the hardest times, the hardest circumstances that you're going through, the fruits of the Spirit are still available. You know, even in the middle of these hard times, we can still have love and joy and peace as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, a lot of times when we're going through something hard, or we're dealing with the death of a loved one or something, we turn to other things to comfort us. And the only thing that comforts us are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you look those up in Galatians, that's what we need at that time. You know, we need the love and the joy and the peace and all the other fruits that come along with it. And he never takes those away from us. Like I said, they're available to us even in those times, but we just tend to forget about them. You know, God is a God of love. He don't want us to be tormented by anything. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, it says it twice in verse 8 and in verse 16. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And in verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and that he dwells in love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." So he's not just a God of love. He don't just show love. He is love. You know, that's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And that peace that he's talking about, it comes through the Holy Spirit. So when we're going through those really hard times, we have to remember where the true comfort comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we try to find it in other things. You know, I know especially in my family, you know, we would use that as an excuse to drink or whatever, you know, and say we were grieving. And that's not true comfort. Those things fade away and your problems are still there. True comfort only comes through the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's in John 14, 2, a little before that, in verses 15 through 18, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeks him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So when he's talking about he will send us the comforter, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then in those times when we think everything is falling apart, that's when we need to draw close to God, and he will comfort us. That's when we need the fruit of the Spirit more than ever. You know, if we draw nigh to him, he will draw near to us. God wants us to mourn our loved ones. You know, that's healthy, and we should mourn our loved ones. You know, that's all through the Bible, but he never intended for us to carry grief. I never knew there was a difference until God showed me through his word, you know, why we can't handle grief and how mourning is healthy for us. So I got out my concordance and I wanted to look up the actual words that they were using for it. And the definition for grief in there, it actually means pain in our body and in our minds. It means to bear the full weight of it, to actually take on the full weight of whatever the grief is onto ourselves. And, you know, God never designed us to carry that. He did equip us to grieve, but not to carry grief. None of us are designed to carry that kind of weight. You know, we're not strong enough to bear the weight of death or any other really hard thing that we have to face in life. Jesus Christ is the only one strong enough to carry the weight of death or sickness or sin. You know, he alone can bear that. We can't do that with our limited strength. And when we take these things to him and let him take the weight off of us, then we can start to grieve and we can start to mourn, and the weight becomes less and less as we give it to Jesus. And I know that's kind of hard to explain. God kind of gave me an example. When I finished my devotion Sunday morning, I was taking a shower, and God started showing me the difference. You know, to be in grief, just in grief, not grieving and not mourning, but just in grief, is like stepping under a massive waterfall, just right underneath it, and just standing still. And all you can feel is the weight of all that water crashing down on you. You know, you can't hear anything, you can't see, you can't breathe. You're just overwhelmed and crushed by all that just crashing down on you. And when we cry out to Jesus to help us, I believe he takes us by the hand and starts walking us out of that. You know, the water is still pounding down. The waterfall don't go away. Whatever, you know, is causing that grief is still there. But we're not directly underneath it anymore. And the weight of it, like I said a second ago, just starts getting less and less. It starts easing up on us. And that is when we start the grieving process, the mourning process. We can't start that process while we're under the full weight of it. But when we take it to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, he'll pull us out of the weight of it. You know, to be in grief is just standing still under all that weight. You know, it don't have to be a death in the family. You know, it could be sickness or it could be sin in your life, whatever it might be. When we come to Jesus and he starts leading us out from under, you know, that waterfall or that weight, we can start to see again. You know, that's why we're in grief and we haven't moved out from under it. We can't hear anything that anybody's saying to try to cheer us up or to try to help us out. You know, none of that stuff makes you feel better, you know, while you're under the full weight of it. But when we start coming out of it through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can start to hear again. You know, we can start to hear the advice and it makes sense to us. And the pain of all that weight starts to be lifted off of us. You know, grieving is just choosing to let Jesus lead us out from under grief. Then we can begin to mourn and to heal. Mourning, I looked that up, it simply means to be sad about what has happened, you know, wishing it would have worked out differently or missing our relationship with that person if it was the loss of a loved one. And that's what I was feeling Thursday morning. It's a deep sadness for the sorrow that we're feeling. You know, it's a hollow feeling. You just feel all empty inside. And along with that also comes, especially with the loss of a loved one, is fear of the future. You know, trying to imagine what's it going to be like now without them. And, you know, you have a deep longing within yourself to go back to the way things were, or a chance to have done something differently before that happened. And if we're not careful, that's where a lot of us get stuck. We get stuck right there in fantasizing about what if it never would have happened, or what if I would have done something differently, or, you know, if we're not careful, we'll get stuck right there and we'll refuse to let Jesus take us any further. I think a lot of us do that to ourselves. Oh. And I believe what happens, we get just outside of the full weight of it, of that waterfall, the initial weight of it, and we get stuck in the pool underneath the waterfall. Like I said, we're just fantasizing about it like it never happened. Or, you know, I've done this just even waiting for it to go away, like it's just going to go away, and we'll wake up one morning and things will be back to where they used to be. But that don't work. Or wishing it would have happened another way. You know, like I said a minute ago, grief don't have to be a death. It can be a sickness or sin in your life, whatever it might be. It will cripple your life if you get stuck right there. You know, it only does more damage to us. We have to go through the process. You know, it damages the relationships that we still have in our lives. You know, the people that are still in their lives that we can't even see or hear because we're stuck in grief. It damages our relationships with them. And it damages our relationship with God. You know, God knows how hard this is for us. And that's why he's there to help us. Back to the book of Isaiah again in chapter 61. This is the verses that Jesus used when he came to start his ministry. He said the reason that he came. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." I know all of y'all know what that spirit of heaviness feels like. You just feel like you can't do anymore. You're just stuck right there. And I mean, he did come to die for us and pay for our sins, and so we can go to heaven and be with him forever. But he also came to comfort us. He knows life on this earth is not easy. He went through the same things that we go through. But if we've drawn near to God, like I said a minute ago, he draws near to us, and he will equip us through the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about a while ago to see the past. I mean, to see past our pain, to see past our grief, and start seeing a future that we couldn't see while we were just underneath all that weight. You know, the last thing we think about when we're in the middle of something like that is our future. And the further he pulls us away from that, then we can start seeing tomorrow and next week. And we start seeing a future again that we couldn't see before. He'll give us the strength and the love and the peace through the Holy Spirit that we need to pour into our relationships that are still in our lives that I just mentioned, and see even more value in them. You know, some of the people in our lives that maybe we've been taking for granted, you know, we'll start looking at those relationships a little differently and realize that they are important. You know, even though we see them every day, sometimes we do take people for granted. And I think we'll start looking at people with the importance that they actually have in our lives. We'll see more value in them than we saw before. We went through that. And we'll see our relationship with God more valuable than we did before. And the further we allow Jesus to get us from that waterfall, the more we can look back and see the beauty of it. You know, when you first hear that bad news, or somebody tells you, you know, something like that, you don't see any beauty in that. All you can see is the hurt. You know, when we're directly under that weight or that waterfall, we can't see anything. All we can feel is the pressure of it. Like I said a minute ago, just crashing down all around you. And, you know, you can't hear, you can't see, it takes your breath. But the further Jesus takes you away from that, we can see the beauty in it. And our thoughts go from the pain of our loss, if it was a loved one, or the pain of, you know, whatever caused it, what we're going through right now, it turns it to healing memories, especially if it's a loved one, that make us smile, you know, like it was doing me that Thursday morning. I started seeing past that, and I started seeing those memories that made me smile. We'll start to recall things that make us happy that we didn't even remember before. You know, we'll be able to see backwards past that thing that happened, past the sickness, past the death of a loved one, or past the addiction, or whatever it was that brought on the grief. And then we'll start to see things weren't always painful, and things weren't always bad. There was good before the bad. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20, and it truly is. Looking back at that waterfall, we can see things on the other side of it, and it gives us a whole new outlook on the future too. It helps us not to take for granted the things that we have in our lives right now. And it motivates us to do the things in our lives that are truly important. And especially as Christians, it helps us become more aware of the reality of eternal life and our relationship with God and how important it is in our relationships with the people that God has placed in our lives. It helps us to draw closer to God, and it helps us to live in a way that protects our relationship with God. And we'll live in a way that protects and nurtures the relationships with the people in our lives. You know, when we can see backwards, you know, I said hindsight is 20/20. When we can look back past that point to the top of the waterfall, you know, we'll see before that there was a river. And, you know, that was the good part before that. And we'll remember all those good things. And that really helps me out a lot when I look at it like that. And it does make you want to live in a way that protects your relationships that you still have, so you will put the value on them that you need to. And I know it, for me anyway, it helps me put less value on the things of the world that I put too much value on. You know, my things. You know, my things are nowhere near as important as the people in my lives. And they're nowhere near as important as my relationship with God. And it helps me get a better understanding of what's more important. And it's not my things. And it's not what people think about me. It's not how I can please other people. It's not how I can please myself. When I stop and think about it, the most important things in my life are the people in my life and my relationship with them. And it helps me get a whole new respect and puts a whole new value on reading God's word and learning more about him, because, you know, he is our hope that Josh preached on the other day. Hope. And last night at CR we were talking about hope. Without hope, you know, there is no point. But the more you're in God's word and the more you learn about him, the truth about him, the more you have hope. And you can share that hope with others. And we'll start treating people the way that we should treat them. You know, God never intended for us to, like I said a minute ago, to stay stuck under the weight of our grief. I remember, this is just an example of it, that happened to me. I got stuck in it. I remember when my wife left me, I just stayed stuck right there, stuck in my grief and depression. I didn't know what to do. You know, we were together like 24 hours a day for almost 15 years, and then get up one morning and she's not there anymore. So I just got stuck right there in my grief for about 2 years. And you know, that's like floating on a raft in the ocean. All that does is let you drift. You drift away from God. You drift away from the people that love you, that you have in your life. You know, God never leaves you. He's right there beside you, but you can drift away from him spiritually. And you can push the people in your life that love you away from you. You know, I did that myself. I pushed everybody in my life away. I just wanted to be by myself. I wanted to be in my depression and just sit there and in that fantasy world that we talked about a minute ago. You know, maybe if this didn't happen, or maybe if that didn't happen, or maybe everything will go back to normal, or, you know, just a whole bunch of what ifs. And I spent 2 years in that. And I think a lot of people do that. You know, I think a lot of people have been stuck in grief for years, and they don't know how to come out of it. And all that did was lead me deeper into depression and deeper into my addiction and, you know, further from God and further from people than I had ever been in my life. So if you're stuck in grief, you need to cry out to God, and He will help you to take that first step. And then He'll help you take the next step. You know, a lot of times our problem is we want to see the end and then make a beeline for it. You know, we don't want to take one step. We don't want to take one little bitty step. You know, what's that going to do? That ain't going to do nothing. I remember saying that to myself. That's not going to help. People invite me to church. I thought, that ain't going to help nothing. Well, come to this meeting. That ain't going to help nothing. It does help. You know, you take one step, and then you take another step, and you just keep taking those little steps. And before you know it, you know, over time, every step you take, God is helping you every step you take. And, you know, after a while, you can look back and you can start seeing the growth. You can start seeing the change, and you can start feeling that joy and the happiness coming back in your life, because he's pulling you out from under that. I know, I remember when I did come to myself like the prodigal son did, and when I cried out to God and told him, you know, I just can't take this anymore, he immediately started giving me, you know, visions and thoughts of what I needed to do, like those steps I just talked about. The very first thing he told me is, you need to go home, and because I was way off in North Carolina, down by the beach somewhere, and that's all I heard was, you need to go home. So that's what I did. And in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, that's what David is talking about here. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And I've seen that, you know, come true in my life. I was in a horrible pit, you know, the worst pit I'd ever been in. And when I cried out to God, He did. He pulled me out of it. He set my feet on a rock. He did put a new song in my mouth, and praise unto our God. And many do see it. And many are trusting in the Lord because of it. You know, you think a lot of times, you know, my life don't matter, or, you know, nobody's looking at me. You know, I don't care who you are or what situation you're in, there's somebody somewhere that looks up to you. And what you do does matter. And God is faithful. No matter how far down you think you've fallen, God will rescue you. If you call out to Him from the heart, He won't leave you there. He will tell you what that first step is, and then He'll tell you what the next step is. You know, that was 6 years ago, and to me, that just seems so far away now. You know, I was talking about He just takes you further and further and further from that waterfall. You know, now I can look back and I can see the beauty of it. I can see a waterfall because I'm not standing underneath it anymore. You know, I've still got some painful memories. I'll always have those, but I'm not standing underneath that waterfall of grief anymore. And since I've let Him lead me out of that, you know, I've got relationships restored that I thought were lost forever. God don't just bring you out of it. He gives you hope for the future, and then he leads you into your future, and it becomes a reality. First, He'll give you the vision of it, and He'll give you thoughts of it and hopes of it, And then he fulfills them. And when he starts fulfilling things in your life, it builds your faith to the point that you have no doubt in God anymore, because you know what he's done for you. You don't need anybody to tell you what God will do, because you know from living through it that he has done it and he will continue to do it. You know, he'll give you back that joy and the peace in your heart that you thought you'd never have again. And like we said at the beginning, he does that through his Holy Spirit. You know, God is not cold and heartless. You know, we said a minute ago, God is love. He's a God of love. He is love. He's not cold and heartless. He don't want you to get, he won't come to you, you know, and say you need to get over your grief, or you need to get over your addiction or whatever is holding you down. He won't do that to you. He wants you to go through it. He wants you to heal. And the only way we can do that is to surrender to him so he can get the weight off of us. I tell you all the time that God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. But when you bring it to him, he will not turn you away. He will help you no matter what it is. And when you take it to him, he will take the weight off so you can mourn and so you can heal. And so you can move on, and you're not going to be stuck there anymore. And like I just said, he won't belittle you. He won't make it seem like that's nothing. He knows if it's important to you, it's important to him too. He knows the pain you're going through, and he knows what you're feeling. He knows how helpless you can feel. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, it talks about that. It says, "For we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So everything that we've been through, Jesus has been through too. He knows how you feel. I know a lot of people, when you're going through a hard time, be like, "I know how you feel." No, you don't. You've never been through this. Jesus has been through it, and he knows how you feel, and he is the one that can do something about it. That's why it says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And he will help you. He is the only one who can help you. I mean, it's healthy to talk to other people, and there's healing in talking to other people. But you can't get the fruit of the Spirit from other people. You can only get that from Jesus Christ. So he wants you to come to him so he can carry the load for you and point you in that right direction, tell you what that first step is. You know, especially when you don't even know which way to go. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. That's why Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, you know, he don't take the whole burden off of you. He just yokes up with you, and he picks it up to where you can handle it. He picks it up to where you can carry the weight that he allows you to carry. He wants you to grieve. He wants you to mourn, but he'll help you do what you can't do. When you yoke up with him, he'll pick up the heavy weight and he'll walk right beside you and help you through it. But he will never, you know, put you down or belittle you or be rude about it and tell you you just need to get over that. He will definitely help you through it. And when he does that, you know, I can speak this from experience too, you will be stronger on the other side of it. Because like I said, the more he comes through in your life, the more faith you have, the more trust you have in Jesus that he will get you through this. And the next time you go through something, you won't have any doubt. You know for a fact that he's going to get me through this. You know, I said a while ago, the further you get from a waterfall, the more you can see the beauty of it. And that is especially true if you're surrendered to Jesus Christ. You know, we've all experienced the loss of a loved one, but in Christ, we know that the water doesn't stop at the end of the waterfall. You know, I said a minute ago, when you back up and look at it, you can see the river running into the waterfall. But through Christ, when we back up and get past it and we can look back at it, we can see it don't stop at the bottom either. It keeps flowing, and it turns into a river that runs into the sea. And, you know, in Jesus, our lives are the same way. All death is, to us, is a waterfall. And on the other side of it is eternal life with Jesus Christ. And, you know, that was the second funeral I've been to, you know, pretty close together. And I was thanking God the whole time because I knew both of them knew Jesus. I wasn't sitting there in torment because I knew they didn't know Jesus and they were going to hell. I was thanking God that now they've not only gone to heaven, they're already there. You know, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I took a lot of comfort in knowing that they knew Jesus. So we know on the other side of that is eternal life. That's one reason to start focusing more on the relationships that are still left in our life. You know, start noticing whether or not the people we love know Jesus or not. It matters. It truly matters. And it's too late to worry about that when you're standing at your funeral. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 7, that's what he's talking about. He says, you know, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So God gives us life. And, you know, when we choose Jesus while we're here in this life, when we do pass on, we never see death. We return to God who gave us life. You know, just like water comes from the sea and returns to the sea, our life comes from God, and through Jesus Christ, it returns to God. You know, we don't just disappear. You have all these atheists and all these different religions and stuff. They think you just go back into Mother Earth or you just disappear or there's nothing out there. But none of that is true. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So when we die here in this world, we go home to be with the Lord. So if you're stuck in grief, or if you've ever been stuck in grief for years, you know, over a loved one, or maybe it's a broken relationship that you don't have anymore, or maybe it is an addiction, or maybe it's, you know, none of those things. Maybe it's self-esteem is crushed by what somebody said to you 20 or 30 years ago, or maybe it's something you've done to somebody else in the past that you just can't get over. You know, whatever it is, if there's something that's just holding you down and you're stuck in it and you can't get out from under it, that's called grief. You know, we might not call it that, but that's exactly what it is. And if you take it to Jesus, he will get you out from under it and he'll start showing you what the next step is. My problem was I kept trying to overcome things on my own strength. I'd fight it and fight it and fight it. And, you know, all we have without the Holy Spirit is willpower, you know, our own thoughts and our own emotions, and that don't last long. You know, it wears out. So the only way to get out from under that stuff is to quit fighting it and to quit trying to overcome it, you know, to quit trying to get over it and surrender it. The only way we can find freedom from any of that stuff is to surrender it to Jesus. And, you know, like we've been talking about, he'll lift that weight off your shoulders and he'll help you be able to move and be able to find that freedom and healing. You know, he'll, like I said, I couldn't cry when I first heard that news because I couldn't think of anything bad. But, you know, when I took it to Jesus, he helped me cry. And I've talked to a lot of people that say I ain't cried in years, you know. I'm just cold inside. And I think a lot of us get to that point. We go through hard thing after hard thing after hard thing, and we get so cold inside we can't cry, we can't get that out of us. We can't mourn. We can't express our sorrow or, you know, whatever we're feeling on the inside. But when you take that to Jesus and you're honest with him, he'll help you do that. You know, he helped me do that. Just yesterday. So I know a lot of people that can't cry, and that's a hard place to be. It really is. Or maybe you're stuck on something that you just can't forgive. You know, he'll help you be able to forgive, too. There was things that I battled for years in my life that I just could not forgive. But when you take them to Jesus, he'll show you that first step. And when you're obedient to that one, he'll give you the next one. And you just keep taking them one at a time, and he'll move you forward and help you do the things that you can't do or you just don't know how to. You know, just lean into him and give up control of it and surrender it to him, and he will help you through it. The enemy knows as long as you keep those things bottled up, you'll stay stuck right there. You know, we have to do like we just read in Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. We have to cry out to God, and he'll get you out of that pit, and he will set your feet on a rock. You know, I know every time I get up here to preach, God lays it on my heart. It's not even in my notes, but Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, if we just acknowledge God in everything we do and not lean to our own understanding, he will direct our paths. You know, all we have to do is acknowledge him, invite him into the situation instead of trying to deal with it ourselves. And he does direct your path. He might not show you, like I said a minute ago, the end of the path, but he will show you the first step. You know, and I said a minute ago too, it really does help to just sit down with somebody and tell them what you're going through and talk about it, and don't keep it bottled up. Like I said, the more you keep it bottled up, that's just makes the enemy even happier. It just leads you further into depression, or if it is an addiction, it'll lead you deeper into that. There's never anything good comes from just keeping things bottled up. We need to tell God and tell somebody else and get it out and talk about it and start getting that healing. So when we get to that point where he's got us out from under the weight, we've got to do like we said a minute ago in Hebrews 4 and verse 16. We need to go to the throne of grace so we can get that mercy and the help we need when we need it the most. You know, God's faithful. When we cry out to him, he'll meet you right there, and he will get you through it, and he'll get you past it, and you'll get your hope back. You know, you'll get your self-esteem back. You'll get your relationships restored if you tore one up. And I tore a lot of them up. And most of all, he'll start showing you a future that you didn't think would ever exist. You know, when it 6 years ago, I didn't think I had a future. I didn't think I didn't have anything to live for. And he just started leading me one step at a time. And now I know I have a future. You know, like it says in Jeremiah, he has a future for you, a good one, not to harm you. I know that from experience too. So if that's you, if you're stuck in something, you know, and if you're underneath it and you just can't get out from under it, you know, quit waiting for a change and bring it to Jesus and let him help you make a change. Just ask him for his help and he will help you. He is faithful. You know, if it's sin in your life, you know, it says in 1 John, he'll forgive it and he'll cleanse you from it. And he will show you the first step. My problem was I had no idea what to do. You know, I had never went the right way. I didn't know how to go that way. So that's why he don't give us a whole path. He just gives us one step at a time. And, you know, I know a lot of single parents, they don't know what to do in situations. So he don't give them the whole picture. He just shows them how to get through today. You know, Jesus said that too. in Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough evil of its own. You know, focus on today. Seek me today. And, you know, he'll be right there with you, and he'll help you get through today. I like reading in Matthew 6:33 all the time. You know, if we'll seek him first and his righteousness, all the other things that we worry about, he will take care of for you. It's easy when we get, you know, in the middle of grief or get in the middle of, you know, just any kind of hard situation to get our focus off of God. But if we'll keep our focus on him and seek him above all else, and that includes, you know, our problems, all our problems. We like to just bring God into the big stuff, but if we'll bring him into the little stuff too, he will give you everything you need to get through that. He's done that in my life, and I know he will do it in your life. And like I said, my cousin Wendy, she had a lot of underlying health issues. And I know a lot of other people right now that have lost loved ones to COVID, and people that are right now thinking they may be losing loved ones to COVID. And especially if you've had if you've got loved ones that are sick right now and they do have underlying health issues, this verse in Isaiah 57 actually brought us a lot of comfort yesterday. You know, Wendy, her dad said, you know, she was a free spirit. She wouldn't have liked being bedridden. She wouldn't have liked being, you know, chained down. If she got to that point, she wouldn't have wanted to live like that. And she even said she wouldn't have wanted to live like that. So in Isaiah 57 in verse 1, it says, the righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart. And the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, they were so young, they were so full of life. You know, why did they have to die that young? Why did they have to, you know, not be able to grow old? And I put a lot of faith in that verse. I think if God thinks the rest of your life is going to be hell on earth for you, I believe he is a merciful God, and I think he will take you home so you don't have to go through those things. That's why it's good to back away from the waterfall so we can see it don't stop there. It does go into eternal life, and instead of her staying here another 20 or 30 years bedridden because of her sickness, she's already, you know, with Jesus, with a perfect body, not hurting anywhere. Well, I take a lot of comfort in that. I know she's not suffering. And I hope if you lost loved ones here recently that you'll find some comfort in that too. But that's all I've got for tonight. I thank y'all for coming out and listening. I thank y'all for tuning in. And if you're going through something like that right now, I hope that this will help you to find some comfort in it, and I pray that it'll give you the courage to take it to Jesus and actually put it into practice. You know, as long as you stay underneath that weight, it don't get any better. It just gets worse. And it not only affects you, it affects everybody around you, especially if you have children or especially if you're married. You know, when you're that deep in grief, it's hard to have a relationship with anybody. And, you know, and that'll make the other person or other people feel like they've done something wrong to put you in that kind of mood. You know, for your sake and for their sake, I pray that you will put this into practice so you can find the healing that you need, and so that those around you can find the healing that they need too. And in doing that, bring more glory to God and bring many people closer to him. But with that being said, I'll go ahead and pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Thanks again for coming out. Father, I just thank you for helping me to get up here and proclaim this message that you put on my heart, Lord. It truly did bring a lot of the healing for me, and I pray that it does the same for others, Lord. And I pray that it gives them courage, Lord, to deal with the things that they just haven't had the courage to deal with, to face the thing that they don't want to face. And I know a lot of times that's the case. We're scared to deal with it. We don't want to face it. So we just hold it in and we hide it. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to bring those things to light, bring them to you so that through your Spirit you can help us to find healing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I just pray for all the people that do have sick loved ones right now, or maybe sick themselves. Your word says you are the God of all comfort, and I just pray that you would comfort them and give them peace, Lord, and draw them to yourself so that they can find healing. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.